The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
1.7 billion were there for his birth. 220 countries tuned in for his first step.
Woohoo!
The world stood still for that stolen kiss. And as he grew, so did the technology. Broadcast live and unedited to an audience around the globe.
Cool, man.
Coming to you now, enclosed in the largest studio ever constructed, and along with the Great Wall of China, one of only two man-made structures visible from space. Now, it's...
I'm Speaking Plainly with Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. We're going to go immediately back to the phones, but I wanted to add this. I got a text message from someone saying that the age of 21 is great with respect to kids and guns, but it doesn't solve the mass shooting. The last 12 mass shootings we've had in the United States were all perpetrated by individuals over the age of 21. One was 64, one was 41, one was 35, and the list goes on. Thanks for your show, Bill. So that came from Tim. I think that's a great thing, but he listed pictures and ages of the last 12 major mass shootings that occurred in this country. All of them were by kids over the
air. Very, very sad.
Yeah, it is very sad, but a lot of it has to do with soft targets. Let's go with Lori real quick. Lori, welcome to the show.
Hi there. I had a couple questions for you. As you were talking about the 69,000 that get murdered, are you saying that you think the morning after pill is wrong?
No.
Okay, and how about... The little boy that just got re-adjudicated this week that had killed his brother, he was born when his mother was 12. If you had a daughter that was 12 and you knew she had sex, would you give her the morning after pill?
Don't know. I'd have to do some more research on that. Probably.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, probably.
They're all hard subjects. I am so glad I am not a judge. I am so glad I don't sit on a lot of juries.
But I will tell you, Lori, something to speak of relative to the young boy that killed his brother. That was an Angela Corey case, and I can tell you that the backstory on that is that's not the first time that he had hurt his little brother. There's some serious mental issues with respect to that young man, and if he's been allowed out or on a conditional release, I think that we need to keep an eye on him for the rest of his life because he has some serious mental problems.
That. I don't think that there are any really easy answers, but I do think pregnancy prevention is a good thing, especially in broken people.
Well, where do you think that should start?
Well, you have to realize that who is that? There was a judge, famous judge, that he believed that retarded people should be sterilized by force. Oliver Wendell Holmes.
Right.
Very famous case.
Well, okay.
And he said we need more of this.
Why are...
I don't know if I agree with that either. It sure colored my opinion of him, quite frankly.
Well, you know, when you think about that, we have laws in this country that prevent first cousins from marrying. We have laws in this country that prevent brothers and sisters from marrying.
You can prevent them from marrying, but that doesn't prevent them from having sex.
I understand that, but what I was trying to get on is the folks that are mentally challenged. You know, there may be something that when they go in for their monthly health checkup, maybe somebody slips them a Mickey, you know, in the form of a birth control pill.
I also understand that lesser intelligent women get prostituted out a lot more. You know, there is a huge dysfunctional dynamic within our society because of what I call laissez-faire capitalism. Money is money to some people, and they don't care how they make it.
Right. All right, Lori.
So I'm just saying it's a very difficult subject, so I'm glad you're on for 3 hours.
All right. Thanks, Lori. I appreciate it. See ya. All right, so Blake gave up the ghost, and we'll go immediately to Mark then. Mark, welcome to I'm Speaking Plainly.
Thank you very much. You know, this past week I've just heard about arming teachers with guns. I wonder if there's any talk, and I doubt there'd be any resistance, to arming them with less lethal forces. You know, these these air guns that shoot capsaicin or tasers or any one of a number of non-lethal but will stop a person methods of defense. I don't think there'd be hardly as much blowback with that kind of talk rather than just arming them with a gun.
Well, I agree with you on that, Mark, to a certain extent. This gentleman had a sporter style AR-15. You know, we call them assault weapons, but they're truly not assault weapons. They look like assault weapons, but let's just call it a sporter AR-15. What would a capsaicin gun been able to do in that case?
You hit him in the head, it stops him immediately. You drop that gun in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
You should see some of those videos.
Yeah, and I haven't seen the videos, and I agree with you, Mark. I don't want to. I'm just saying that under stress, somebody trying to fire and run at the same time, their ability to maybe hit them in the head is going to be slim and none. I'm really taken back by the fact that the police officer, the resource officer, who had been resource officer of the year, I think it was last year, the year before, had gotten an award for something. He hid behind a palm tree.
Opted out.
Yeah, he hid behind a palm tree and never engaged the shooter. That, to me, words can't express how disappointing that is. Those kids, many of those kids might still be alive today if he would have done what he was paid to do, and that is draw his service weapon and engage the active shooter.
Well, the sheriff down there was on TV stating that he should have engaged the killer, killed the killer, and done his job.
Right, exactly. And Mark, what do you think about having every classroom, and even when I was in school 40 years ago, every classroom had a fire extinguisher. You know, yep. What do you think about every classroom now has a fire extinguisher, but next to the door it also has a big iron bar that drops across the old barns. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice. The old barn door style, you know, the two elk horn antlers and a big bar goes in the middle. Nobody can open that door. I mean, at least those 30 kids inside that room would then be safe. I mean, I don't think there'd be any pushback with having one of those in every door in every school.
Well, depending on what school you are in Jacksonville, maybe that fire extinguisher could be used against the teacher, too.
Good point.
Yeah. Mark, every time I got a good one, you got to come back. Thanks, brother. I appreciate it. Bye-bye. That's a good conversation. You know, if you put something in there that a disruptive student could get a hold of, I like the idea. Why do we have to have just one single line of defense? Mark's idea is great. Why can't the teacher be armed with a taser gun and taught how to use it? Now, the interesting thing about tasers, and I've learned this from law enforcement, the two little darts that spread out, they have to be at a certain, you know, they have to, the darts themselves come out of the gun so that one dart fires straight, the other dart fires kind of down so that they have a wide spread pattern. The wider the spread pattern, the bigger the impact on the electric shock. And if those darts don't get into skin somewhere, then it doesn't work. So if the person's wearing a heavy jacket and they get darted, 9 times out of 10, it's not even going to phase them. It's not even going to shock them. And then sometimes when they're really running on adrenaline, like the guy down in St. Augustine, he got tasered 3 different times, and not a single time did it affect him. Didn't drop him to the ground at all. He was just immune to it because his adrenaline rush was so high. So, why not multiple layers of defense? Let's go to Rice real quick. Rice, welcome to the show.
Bill, hey.
Hey.
What we've had is a professional school shooter and professional student protesters, and it seems that the so-called town hall meeting seemed to me from the reading of a book, Wild Swans. She wrote of her experience during Mao, and she escaped. This book's still banned in China today, Wild Swans. And she figured out Mao, and he ruled by getting people to hate each other and bringing out the worst in people of envy and resentment, and got the people to turn on one another. And he enjoyed it, each Chinese. And he also created a moral wasteland and a land of hatred. And I was thinking about this disrespect that this paid student protester with his lines memorized and the booing from the audience and the hatred from the audience towards someone should at least have a conversation with it. And the senator being so weak, little Marco being so weak.
We're getting ready to run out of time, buddy, but I understand exactly what you're saying.
Beware of Maoism.
Maoism. We got it on the list. Thanks, buddy. I'm kind of on his side with respect to that town hall meeting. It seemed like it was pretty professional and thrown together real quick. This is I'm Speaking Plenty. We're going to step away. We'll be right back. Join us, won't you?
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly. What you got to say? To join the conversation, call 222-TALK. Say, hey, hey, hey. That's 222-8255. What you got to say? Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to another edition of I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm sorry. It was something that was posted on the website. That's the reason why I was laughing. Joni was taken back by the fact that I burst out in laughter here in the studio for no apparent reason.
Well, you're allowed to laugh if you'd like.
Yeah, it's just
but it was
wow.
Over
because
the top,
we get pretty serious. We get pretty serious sometimes. That one apparently got you.
This was a humorous comment by
you going to share
Jeff Repo. I can't.
Oh, okay,
I can't.
Oh, it was a good one then.
It's a good one, yeah. And I can't. But you guys are welcome to come into the studio on the next break, and it's a good laugh is guaranteed for all. I've gotten a lot of people talking about my comment with respect to 69,624 kids premeditatively murdered last year. Just last year. Think about that. Just last year alone in Florida. Since Roe v. Wade, it's over 4 million. Think about that. Over 4 million since Roe v. Wade. And I understand where Lori was coming from. And I'm not a big abortion, anti-abortion advocate or activist. For me personally, it's not a good thing. But, you know, I want people to understand that you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't take perfectly good law-abiding citizens and restrict their rights because of some raving lunatic in South Florida. You know, we're turning our schools now into armed camps with barbed wire and metal detectors, and police officers now in Brevard County starting Monday are going to roam the grounds with assault rifles.
Over the actions of one individual.
Over the actions of one individual. You know, we've done this on so many different fronts. The TSA was formed after the 9/11. And the TSA has never been responsible for stopping one terrorist act on any American airplane or perpetrated at any American airport, or prevented harm to come to any American citizen. The TSA is the biggest useless waste of money that we've spent in probably 50 or 60 years.
And we've had 18 years to make it better, and it's only gotten worse.
Right. The only thing that they can even closely try and tie in together is the underwear bomber. And they didn't even stop him. He was on the plane. The reason his shorts caught on fire is because he wasn't really good at making the bomb. So, you know,
thank God for that.
Exactly. But when they looked at the way the bomb was constructed and the aircraft that he was in, the only person he probably would have killed when he blew up was himself, because the explosive impact on the aircraft would have been very little, because basically he was wearing it in his underwear. And it becomes then a shaped charge. So you've got one direction for the outflow of the explosive force into a padded seat cushion. The other direction for the explosive force is into his rear end. So, I mean, he was basically drowning out any of the effect of the bomb. So, anyway, but the TSA has never done anything good for us. The only thing it's done for us is limit our ability to get on and off planes. I'm so proud of some of the airports around the country now that are going to allow loved ones to pass through security and go on out to the gate so that they can meet these soldiers or fathers. You know what? When I was a little kid, we didn't have JIA. We had Imeson Airport. And I can remember my dad leaving on flights, and we would get to walk out onto the tarmac, me holding my mom's hand, and walk right up to the stairs. Because you had to walk out and walk on stairs and climb the air stairs to get into the plane. And then the air stairs would pull back and they'd close the door. The engines would fire up and he would take off and go. We didn't have the jetilators that they have or what they, you know, what they're using now at JIA, the access bridges. We didn't have those. So, you know.
We're dating ourselves, but I remember it very clearly.
Well, and something else that was brought up relative to people that are texting me into the I'm Speaking Plainly Facebook page, and that is when you look at where these attacks occur, they're taking place at targets that we have deliberately, by our own actions, softened. Schools. All these attacks are taking place at schools. Soft targets. Movie theaters. Soft targets. Churches. Soft targets. Outdoor, huge, big gatherings of people in Las Vegas. Soft target. You know, what are we going to do to prevent Las Vegas from happening again in the future? What is an assault weapons ban going to do to prevent that from happening? The guy had 90,000 rounds. 90,000. Think about that. He had a van loaded full of them in the parking garage. I think he had something like 10,000 rounds just in the hotel alone and 13 different guns. 13 different guns. I don't begrudge
which
a man buying guns.
Which begs the question, how did he get all of that into the
Walked
hotel?
Walked it right into the
exactly.
hotel.
And passing another law is not going to change that.
No. And the thing about it is he had been a high roller there at the casino.
Well
coming
known.
Once a year, well known. Hi, how you doing, Mr. So-and-so? Oh, just fine today. Good, let's go. Get on the elevator. Boom. He was well known. He was well known, and he went crazy. A screw came loose somewhere and fell out on
you
the highway.
Cannot legislate crazy.
No, you can't. Or in the words of Ron White, you just can't fix stupid.
When somebody's determined to do something in our society, as no matter how tragic, no matter how evil,
they're
have a good chance of getting it done.
Right.
Especially if they keep it quiet.
I hate to bring China into this, but 2 days after the event in Parkland, a woman went crazy in China and sliced 38 people to death. 38 people.
Wow.
With a knife. She sliced them specifically.
So are they going to do ban knives?
I don't know. I guess in China they probably they can't ban them. They make most of them. So, you know, we have a lot of knee-jerk reactions that feel good to politicians. I'm sure, and I like Governor Scott a lot. I support him. I'm sure he feels good about the legislation that he's proposed going forward about not allowing people under the age of 21 to purchase any type of firearm or weapon. Now, that's what gets me. Any type of firearm or weapon.
But how about the kids that grow up hunting with their parents?
Not going to happen anymore. Well, they'll be able to purchase
it. Probably
it.
Will. But,
yeah.
but the thing is, I think that every parent, every grandparent, anybody with kids, the kids themselves, they should have a safe schoolroom. But the problem is there are outside forces that are getting into the schoolrooms. They don't seem to get into football games, so they don't seem to get into you know, they have done some of the concerts around the world, but people will cause violence. It's not just by guns. It's been by vehicles, by jets.
Right.
You know,
you're absolutely
knives.
Right. How much are we willing to take to protect ourselves from what has now become a day-to-day event in our society?
Which, that's the tragic thing.
Which goes back to my original statement that I've been making for years and years and years, and that is we keep way too many people alive in this country. We do. And we are trying to, through legislation, prevent any bad things from happening to anybody, anytime, anywhere. And you cannot do that. The laws of nature say bad things sometimes happen to good people, and we call them accidents or we call them acts of evil. And you just can't avoid that. I could leave here tonight, go home, on my way home, stop at a Subway. A dude walks in with a mask over his face, decides he wants to rob the Subway. Now, I can either play hero and try and disarm him and either win or lose. If I lose, I'm dead. No further discussion. If I win, then that guy will go to jail, go to prison, whatever. Eventually, he'll get out, and he will probably do it all over again. You just cannot protect yourself from everything all the time. And if we could stop death by cancer, if we could stop death by accident, if we could stop death at the hands of others, eventually we would be overloaded in this world. We would. Death is a part of life, whether it's accidental or contrived. It is a part of life, and we can either learn from it or we can be stagnated by it. And in this particular case, when we are allowing these reactions, it's a bad thing. Don't get me wrong.
We live on a lovely planet. Why can't we? I mean, I know this is going to sound soft and everything, but why can't this be a better experience for almost everybody?
Because greed And evil
it's all about
exists.
The money. Here we go again.
Well, no, it's not about the money, AJ, as much as it is greed. I was going to say greed. They say, why can't we all live a wonderful life? Why is it some people are Donald Trumps and Bill Gates and others are homeless guys in the park? Because your motivation has to be either living a wonderful life and everything's all daisies and you go and you live and commune with nature.
Everybody comes up through a different situation.
Exactly.
Some people are abused as children. Luckily, I wasn't.
I wasn't either. I had a great great set of parents growing up.
I've known people who have that. I've heard their stories. And you know what seems to happen is abuse seems to generate abuse from those people again to someone else because it doesn't end with them usually.
And I tend to agree with you that it is a replicating factor. A man who beats his wife is going to be seen by kids seeing daddy beating his wife, and those kids may or may not grow up to be...
To think it's acceptable. Acceptable behavior.
Like women sometimes are with abusive partners, and then they seek out other ones.
Right.
Similar. For some reason, you think that sounds crazy, right? But it happens.
But on the other hand, we cannot teach men that all of us have to be softer and gentler and kinder. No, that's not our nature. That's the nature of women.
I just think
women
I think it would be nice, even as a guy. I think it'd be nice, love would be a lot better than this shoot 'em up stuff.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
America's more afraid of romance.
Oh, come on now.
I mean, in a certain way.
I love it, AJ.
In a certain way. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plenty. The music's playing in the background, so we got to go for this edition. But 222-TALK, 222-8255. We'll be returning right after this segment. Join us, won't you?
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jackson. Well, we've gone in 100 different directions tonight. Phone lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255. Breaking news report is coming out now that it's been determined and verified that 4 Broward County deputies waited outside the school during the active shooter
more serious event. Than they thought.
Yeah, they thought it was just the one resource officer, but 4 additional officers waited because Broward County policy is that without special training, if you cannot see the shooter, you cannot engage the shooter. But my thoughts are, if those 4 deputies had even gone in all 4 together, could they have not engaged the shooter?
Well, they could have distracted him at least.
Could have at least distracted him and maybe saved some of those
lives.
Kids. Yeah, be interesting. I've asked Joni to try and contact Sheriff Mike Williams and see if we can get him into the studio. And he's always been really good about either calling or coming in and talk about what our policies here are in Duval County as to whether or not a deputy. Now, the interesting thing, Duval County has its own police department made
within
up
the schools,
within the school, made up of certified law enforcement officers. And would they have a policy that prevents them from engaging an active shooter? Because
maybe we can get the head of the Duval schools.
Yeah, let's reach out to them and see if we can get them to come forward.
Well.
And then I've had quite a few people have pushed back against the whole idea of comparing the abortion with the abortion issue. 69,624 kids premeditatively killed in Florida in 2017 alone. Those are not my facts. Those are facts that you can look up on Al Gore's internet. But you compare that. Yeah, I mean, we've got to say that. He gets a plug every time because, Al Gore invented the internet, according to him. And so I want to make sure that he gets credit when credit is due.
And I guess he's the first to have identified global warming.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Now you notice, AJ, that they've backed off from that because of the amount of ice that's building up in the Arctic. Now they're saying, instead of global warming, they're saying climate change. Well, as far as I know...
Hey, guess what? I think it's changed since the Earth started.
Exactly. And as far as I know, I think climate changed a whole lot here in Jacksonville between today and what it was doing in December. Because I remember some pretty darn cold days in December
January
where I didn't even want to
leave. A lot of January as well. And we got an early start in spring.
Well, I'm not complaining.
You know, we may... But then again, there's always that snap possibility in March. You never know.
And I will tell you that Mary commented here on the abortion issue. The perspective is whether or not the mom carrying the child determines that it's a child or whether it's a mistake. Wow. It's pretty powerful.
But I guess it's always been that, hasn't it? I mean,
is it a child or is it a
mistake? If a woman does not want to have a baby and she gets pregnant,
then it's a mistake.
Does she have to have the baby?
Right.
I guess that's been the big problem,
right?
That's
the ethical question.
And I guess a lot of other people want to decide what that the woman wants to do with her body, in a sense.
Well, then does it become, is it an actual life or is it just something? Is it like, okay, the woman's just like having puppies and she doesn't want to have a litter right now?
That's a critical part of the debate as well.
Right.
When does life start?
Exactly.
Does it start at the...
Apparently, according to some states, at 28 weeks. Mm-hmm. According to other states, at 14 weeks. Think about that. 28 weeks, that's 7 months. And, you know, there are certain babies that are born premature at 7 months that go on to thrive.
I was one of them.
Were you really?
That's the reason
was
I
something
am the
wrong
way
with you.
I am.
I knew that was
that
something.
Is
and
it.
There is a heartbeat
yeah.
that is audible at 18 days.
Really?
Days. D-A-Y-S. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, I'm glad that I will never be in a position to have to make that decision. So it's not a decision that I would want to make. But
yet the men were the problem in the first place.
Yeah, we are. It's always our fault, AJ. You know, everything in life always comes back
to
us.
I'm glad you guys understand that.
I know it's a serious situation, but you know, the problem is, this is that you were talking about the life and what happens, and this is all part of life. Mistakes, choices. This is what when we get here. Some people have a better journey. Some folks don't.
What we do in life, our decisions kind of determine our exposure to risk.
But do you ever realize and think about it, and I don't think enough people do, because especially the fact that we don't have enough respect in society, you realize how lucky you were to be born on this planet
at
this time?
That's exactly right.
I am so very happy to be my age. At this time, I've seen some wonderful, wonderful things. I've been really blessed that I was up when I was a little kid and I was 8 years old and I got a chance to watch men set foot on the moon for the first time on an old black and white RCA television.
Mm-hmm.
And then years later, very, very blessed to call one of those men my friend. And I can pick up the phone and call him tonight.
That is a
life
blessing.
It is a blessing. It is a real blessing. And you would have, I didn't even think about that at 8 years old. I knew I wanted to be an astronaut. I thought it would be cool. But, you know, I played
hooky to watch the original seven, you know, when Alan Shepard went for the suborbital and Glenn, then Gus Grissom.
Mm-hmm.
And of course he lost the capsule on that.
Right.
That one. And unfortunately was one of the astronauts who passed away when we had the
Apollo 1 fire.
Yeah, that big
him
fire.
And Ed White and Roger Chaffee.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really weird how this stuff all kind of circles around together. I dated Roger Chaffee's daughter much in 1996.
Wow.
So it's really kind of odd.
So it's really personal to you in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
And the funny thing is, though, do you realize we were, as baby boomers, which I am, and I don't, you know.
I think I am, too.
And the thing is, we've seen such change we've seen history firsthand without being there.
But we've also seen our society, I believe,
well,
in the last
it's dumbed up
20
in the last
years.
20 years.
I think in the last 20 years it's dumbed up. But in addition to that, it's become more what's in it for me. Instead of, you know, Kennedy, and I hate to quote Kennedy because everybody else seems to, but ask not what your country can do for you, but what
you can do for your country.
Now it's ask not what I need to do today, but what is my country going to give me?
Where's my freebie?
Well, we're in a competitive society, and it's gotten probably carried away to the point of view of, I guess, the almighty dollar is more important than everything in some people's lives.
And I see some of my friends that I went to high school with, and I still keep very close ties with many, many of those people. We get together on regular outings, and I see those that were major achievers that either became doctors or lawyers or Indian chiefs or whatever they became, and they did very, very well at it. And I've seen them buy the BMWs and live in the fancy houses and attend all the best parties and go to all the best, you know, dinners and galas and parties. And then I've seen those on the men's side get first diagnosed with prostate cancer, and then it starts to become something else, and then it becomes something else. And I've seen those people go from, I'm living the high life, to I want more life. I don't care about what I've got. I want to have more time with my friends, more time with my family, more this, more that. And it becomes less about the kind of car you're driving, but whether or not you can still drive.
Exactly.
And that is, that's why I do all the crazy stuff that I do. Why I'm still my age and doing all the risky, crazy stuff that I do every single day. It's because that's what, for my personality, keeps me alive, keeps me in touch with the fact that this is fleeting. We could all, for even at nobody's fault, we could be driving home tonight, run over something on the road that may have fallen off of a truck, blows out our tires, we go skidding around, and boom, crash into a sign, and we're gone. So, you know, tell those people that are important in your life that they're important in your life every single day. Don't wait until somebody starts a stopwatch for how many days you've got left before you tell those people that they're important to you.
This could be a whole three-hour segment on that very topic.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's something that we touch on, and then, of course, Bill pops a vein and goes back into his ranting and raving again. But
it's interesting how quiet the phone is during these conversations.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, well, I'm not just doing that to point it up out here, but the fact is, how do people really feel about it?
I would like to. I know that people are regular callers. Marty, he lives life to the fullest. Rice, he's got his friends and his family and his kids
and his religion,
and he lives life to the fullest. And I'm sure that Blake gave up on us for something. We had him on hold for a while. I guess he thought I wasn't coming.
He was at Cotton's Barbecue, he said.
Was he really at Cotton's?
That's why he wanted to tease you.
Wow. I wish I would have known. I'd have asked him to pick me up a to-go order. Cotton's Barbecue. Absolutely fantastic. We're going to get you guys another gripe night scheduled real soon. I'm going to get in touch with the people over there at Cotton's. They just celebrated their 31st anniversary 2 days ago. 31 years in the same location.
Years.
Putting out some of the best barbecue ever. I'm not kidding you. I don't get paid for these announcements, guys. I eat there probably 4 or 5 days a week. And I'm a single guy. It's cheaper for me to go and eat there than it is for me to keep food at home. If I go to Publix and buy food,
it becomes a science project.
And a lot of it gets wasted.
It does. It gets wasted. And the dog can only eat dinners.
Fire up the oven. Take you an hour when you can do it in a half hour
at
the restaurant.
Absolutely. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plenty. I'm your host, Bill Hay. AJ, Joni, myself, the phones, everything. We'll all be back here in a couple of minutes. Join us, won't you?
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill Hay. And, wow, just I couldn't get around thinking about the whole break. I even picked up the phone to call Yvonne over at Cotton's Barbecue to talk to her and see about getting another grout night.
A troublemaker, wasn't I?
Yeah, you were. But Blake was at least over there. And you guys should get over there sometime, too. I mean, just how many of you can go on a recommendation that it's really, really good barbecue you should try? I mean,
you're hooked. What part of town?
It's on Rohara Road between Merrill Road and Arlington Road in the what they call Old Arlington section. Plenty of great parking.
Close to East Arlington, but in the old Arlington area.
Well, in the old Arlington area, yeah, Rohara Road. Most people know where Rohara Road if they've been around Arlington for any particular period of time. People call it Rogero.
Yeah,
Road
looks like Rogero. If
yeah,
you're not,
Rogero. But it's actually Rohara Road. Great, absolutely great barbecue, great people. It's one of those wonderful restaurants where, you know, the husband and wife own the place and they work at the place and they're there every day. They have a routine down. The husband comes in and opens. Fred opens, and then he stays almost till lunch, and then Yvonne takes over and takes lunch through dinner, and then he comes back just a little before the dinner rush and stays till close. I mean, it's and when you're there eating, if you're a first-time customer, generally they'll walk out to your table and, hey, how's it going? Was your food good? Did you like it? You know, and that really...
Like it used to be. Like they really care that you're there.
That impresses me when any restaurant does it, but Cotton's does it religiously.
Wow. That's excellent. And then, how long has that been open now?
31 years in the same location.
Imagine if I'd have been at one station for 31 years. My life would have been different.
And think about the fact that...
the community would have been different.
Fred's father was the original.
I could have had waterfront property.
You could have. Fred's father was the original Cotton's Barbecue on Main Street. He has nothing to do with it now, but that was his father's original store. And
wow.
So, yeah, his father's long since gone, and it's gone through four or five different hands. It's in another group of people's hands now. But
they care what they're doing, what they're creating. They care about their customers, I'm sure.
Yeah, he does, and it's all legitimate, real pit-smoked barbecue. It's cooked right there on the spot. You can sit right there and look at it. It's not sliced or cut or anything before you order it. It's good food, and it's so good that I actually have a bottle of my own sauce in my refrigerator at home, and if you buy the sauce from Cotton's, their regular barbecue sauce, the same stuff that they use, here's a pie rep. We call them pie reps. They're pilot reports. So here's a pie rep. Here's a barbecue pie rep. Take a Bubba Burger hamburger, stick it in a frying pan, get some Cotton's barbecue sauce, and float it over the top. Just fill the whole top full of it, and then cook the hamburger like normal. Oh, my God. You can't. I will go home from the studio tonight, plop out a Bubba Burger, because they close at 8:30 in the dining room. So they're closed before we get a chance to
get there. This is the Bill Hay
version. This is the Bill Hay burger.
All right. Yep. This is food to die for, folks.
Exactly. Food that will cause you to die, because it's definitely
heart disease. Side order of cholesterol.
It's something you're not going to want to do every day.
It's heart disease. Let me tell you another sandwich I invented while we're off the subject here before Marshall gets in. The Southern Grill. Another great restaurant for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but they're in old downtown on Flagler and Mary Street. And the Southern Grill, they used to have another restaurant called the Q. They had to close it because of construction there on San Marco Boulevard. The customers couldn't get into them. But they had a third-pound hamburger that they would then put a slice of cheese on. And so I added a little bit to that. I said, take that third-pound hamburger and add a quarter-pound scoop of pulled pork barbecue to the top of the hamburger, and then add another slice of cheese. And then on top of that, either add a half a smoked link of nettle sausage.
Oh, my God.
And put that on a bun. And
what do
some
you get a medic along with this?
No, but I'm telling you, they
you
call
need a
it,
defibrillator.
It's still available today. You can go down there and you can ask Chris in the kitchen. It's called the Q Burger. And you can get it, and he'll look at you, and he'll say, ah, you've been talking to Bill Hay. They will make you the Q Burger. Now, they've got some variants on it now. You can take the sausage off. If you don't want the sausage, you can add an ice cream scoop of coleslaw to the top of it. So you've got the burger, the cheese, the pulled pork barbecue,
you're getting vegetables
coleslaw,
now.
Coleslaw on top of that, all squeezed together on a big bun. I guarantee you that it's, your heart rate will go up just from eating.
Now you've heard about the final...
I can feel my arteries clogging right now just thinking about it.
I think we've got
it.
A name for this. The final burger.
The final burger. All right. So let me read a little comment here that I got. And it just says, Bill, my body is my own. If I make a mistake for one night out of my life, should I be punished for the rest of my life? Wow. Now, I don't think I've ever heard a woman describe the act of becoming pregnant as being punished for the rest of my life.
But if it was at the wrong time in her life?
Is it still really being punished? I don't know. That's
don't
a tough
think
call.
Punished is the correct verbiage.
No.
Well, maybe she feels that way.
She could.
And
anyway.
She's entitled to her feelings. You know, it's such a personal thing. What works for me may not work for another woman and vice versa.
And I'm sure
but it's a loaded discussion.
And then maybe this happens at a younger point in someone's life, and then later in life they review that, as we do, as our memories go along, and then maybe there's some regrets.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know what would have been.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I have those kind of feelings all the time with respect to girls that I dated that were, you know, I've dated a lot of women in my life. You know, and been in love with a few, but dated a lot. And I look at some of the early ones in life that I stayed with them and settled down and had the 2.3 kids and the picket fence and the dog and the house and everything. Would my life be any different? And I think about it every night and
maybe
think,
one less airplane.
It would be one less airplane, a couple less helicopters. Yeah, it'd be, it would have been a lot different. Would it be better? I don't know. But would it be different? Yes. Am I willing to roll those dice for marriage again? No. Sorry. Been there, done that, bought the video and the t-shirt.
But there's something for friendship and companionship as you get older.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got a dachshund for that.
Okay.
Who's still happy to see me, unlike many wives around the country.
It is unconditional love.
It is, absolutely. My dog is always happy to see me. However, my ex-wife was not.
Let's talk about the B-24s that were here this weekend.
What do we want to talk about? The fact that they were charging just to go out and look at them?
I don't think they were charging just to look
at them. Yes, they were. That's why I didn't promote it all that much. Just to walk out on the field and look at them, there was a charge. Yeah, you could look at them from the other side of the fence.
On Friday, there was a group of seniors that went out, and to my knowledge, they weren't charged. But there's a gentleman
here
locally.
Well, seniors get a break all the time.
We need to become one, so we get a break.
Well, it's good to get those senior discounts.
Yeah.
99-year-old resident of Ortega was a B-24 flight instructor 75 years ago who was honored at that event Friday when they flew in Friday afternoon.
And I think that is absolutely wonderful because our World War II veterans are going very, very quickly. There will come a time in our lifetime where there will not be any World War II veterans left. And I know my father experienced a point in time in his life where there were no World War I veterans left.
I imagine some of those survivors from what they call them, the greatest generation.
The greatest generation, yeah.
I'm sure they must have some words about what's been going on in society over the last 10, 15, 20 years.
I'm sure, AJ, that if I could...
For all those sacrifices.
If I could assume what they must be feeling, I would assume that they must be feeling a great deal of disappointment. And that's a real shame. We've kind of let our past generations down by the way we've prosecuted our current look on life. When we have children... going on all three news channels as a member of a huge society of children that apparently speak their mind. When we have all of these kids telling us as grown adults that we're not responsible enough to have assault weapons, we're not responsible to have high-capacity magazines, and these same children represent a group of kids that were eating laundry detergent 2 weeks ago. So I have a hard time putting my faith and trust in the generation that thinks it's okay to do the Tide Pod challenge, but it's not okay to have a 30-round magazine. I don't think they should get a vote. They don't have a dog in this hunt.
There's no skin in the game. That's right.
They need to be children. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plenty. I'm your host, Bill. Hey, when we come back, we'll be starting that special segment that we do each and every week in the 8 o'clock hour. We're going to be following, once again, this week's past exploits of Rocky and his tutelage under the hands of Marshall Wood. And I think you're going to enjoy this. Every week so far has been a new and expanding adventure in this man's effort to run a family and have a life on a single income with a wife staying at home and raising a 19-month-old. And
he's now a traditional family,
a traditional one-income family. So if you will, stick around for that. Joni, we'll say goodbye to you for tonight. And then phone lines
week.
Will be open, 222-TALK. 222-8255, and of course, email, as always, bill@600wbob.com, bill@600wbob.com. We'll be right back.